Good morning. So good to see everybody here this morning. Thank you, Will, for the song selection this morning. Excellent choice of songs. And thank you all for being here. Some of you all might have heard that Russ would be out of town, and you came anyway. So I'm thankful for that. There's a couple faces that I see that I'm not familiar with, and so obviously if you've been here before, then you know that I'm not the real preacher. I'm just a substitute. Now, recently in the NFL, I believe it was this past season, they had some substitute referees, and they didn't do so well. And it didn't take long for people to want the real referees back. So hopefully you all don't run me out before I say what I got to say. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come before you, Father, as humble as we know how, thanking you for, once again, another opportunity we have to delve into a portion of your word. Father, I pray that at this time you bless the words that you placed on my heart and bless the ears that will receive them. Father, we ask that as we go through this period of study, that our minds and hearts will be open to the things that you have to say. We ask these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you also, Brother Walker, for the scriptural text. We're going to be talking this morning out of 3 John, the second verse. The second verse. We're talking a little bit about physical health and spiritual health. And I decided to speak on this topic because I knew this was something that we could all relate to. Some of you all have already got your summer bodies together. I'm not quite there yet. That's okay, though. My wife says she still loves me anyway. But it's something we can all relate to. You know, you see on television advertisements for all different types of diets and workout plans, and they've got pills and shakes. And I saw one shake recently that is all green, and it's got all different types of vegetables and things in it. It didn't look too appetizing, but I guess it's supposed to be good for you. So, in 3 John, the second verse, John expresses his concern for Gaius' physical well-being. Implied is the excellent status of Gaius' spiritual well-being. So how about our spiritual health? As we know, we put a lot of focus on our physical fitness. Okay, we bought an elliptical some months ago, and it's somebody we found online. We went to Hopewell or Colonial Heights and picked it up and got it into the spare room, and it set. It set. I knew where it was. And it set, and that stuff doesn't do any good if you don't use it. And before you knew it, I started hanging stuff on it, you know. I needed some more room in the closet. I hang a shirt on there, or it was in the spare bedroom, so it was just spare, you know. So every now and then I would get on it and feel good about myself, but I wouldn't stay consistent, and that's important. We'll get to that in a little while. So spiritual vitality and strength are attained only through effort. Just like physical health requires a proactive approach to wellness. What is needed to maintain a good level of spiritual health? What does God say about our spiritual health? Let's take a look at the Word and see where we are. See if we can come up with a prescription for spiritual health. So we know that both physical health and spiritual health require a strong immune system. For those of you all taking notes, a strong immune system to ward off disease. Without a healthy immune system, relatively small threats can be deadly. When you think about the first thing that comes to mind when I think about the immune system, I think about those people that you see sometimes, and we maybe have been those people from time to time, where when you get sick, when your immune system isn't that good, you see the people that have the mask on. Because even little things, small things, can be detrimental to their health. Spiritually, how strong is our ability to withstand threats? And of course, we could come up with a long list of those things. Temptation, false teaching, persecution, so on and so forth. So we need a strong immune system to face the inevitable. Temptation and spiritual hardships are inevitable. We know that. That's a part of our lives. We can't live in a bubble, though. You know, we live in the world, but not of the world. You know, I think about this, when I think about living in a bubble, and it makes me think about the innocence of children. You know, you think about some of the kids we see, just even in this building right now, and we look around, we see some of the kids that are in here, and we see the innocence, and things that they do tend to be so cute, and as they get older, and it's not so cute anymore. But we can't live in a bubble. You know, and many of you know, I work as a school guidance counselor, and I get a lot of calls from upset parents, because the reality is they send us their best. And I work on the high school level, and so those kids are certainly not in the bubble at all. And some of those angry calls are not so much angry at me, but I'm the easiest one to get in touch with because I have an office phone. Sometimes the teacher or somebody else. But those kids don't live in a bubble, and neither do we. And as delicate as they are, the world hits them, and it hits them very hard. And that's something we as Christians have to be prepared for as well. So going out of the world to avoid all contact with temptation is not possible. In John 17, the 15th verse, the word says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." Spiritually speaking, we need to build up our resistance. James 4 and 7 says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So with a strong immune system, we will be able to take heed lest we fall. We will be able to live vigilantly. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." We will be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. So we know that vitamin C is very important to our immune system, right? Well, as Christians, we need vitamin C also, vitamin Christ, all right? That's, you can write that down. That's good. I want to see, and I thought of that one all on my own, actually. And I want to see that on y'all's Facebook statuses later, too, okay? Contributing to a strong immune system is regular exercise. Now, back to the elliptical. It doesn't do a whole lot of good if I don't use it. We thrive only when active. We can change eating habits, but we must exercise. Now, I'm conflicted on which one of those is the bigger struggle for me. I don't know if it's the eating habits or the exercise. I got a pass the other day because we're trying to do this whole eating healthier thing, you know, and that means that you got to get rid of some stuff too. You know, like that Bluebell ice cream in the freezer, cookies and cream. The man on the commercial said, "Oh, that's my favorite flavor." He said, "That's my favorite flavor too." There's two people live in my house that both like that kind of ice cream. And every time you open the freezer, it's sitting right there at you, looking at you. Okay? So I don't know which one is bigger for me, the exercise or the eating habit. But we can only thrive when active. We all know that one of the basic principles of losing weight is that you have to burn more calories than you take in. Is that right? Now, we've got a physical fitness expert in the house. So if I'm saying something wrong, just shake your head. Wrong. No, that's not right. All right? There is danger in becoming spiritually sluggish. This is true spiritually as well as physically. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12 says, "We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." So are we just maintaining? You know, they say one of the first things you lose is water weight, right, when you're working out. But, you know, you go through a lot of these diets and especially the ones that can make you lose weight like this many pounds in like 2 days or whatever. that's probably drastic, but you understand what I'm saying. But if you don't, if you're not careful and you get sluggish in your habits again, that stuff comes back. That weight comes back quickly. So are we just maintaining? The necessity of spiritual activity. We have been created to walk in good works. There is work to be done. We have been saved in order to serve. Now, every time I get up here and speak before you all, I always say to you that when you say something over again, the teacher always told me that's for emphasis. You say it again, that means it's very important. I'm going to say that again. We have been saved in order to serve. Each of us individually has work to do. We each need to exercise ourselves unto godliness. You know, when I think about that statement, being saved in order to serve, one of the things that I think about is something that we've all heard before. And you think about the good news you have to share. You know, when you have something good you want to share with somebody. If something good happens to you, you don't hold it in. You want to share with everybody that you know. Okay? It's the same thing with our spirituality, our faith. We know that God has done some amazing things in our lives. Amen? Amazing things. Things that we can't even fathom that he'd be able to do. And he's still doing, and he's going to do in our lives. So those are things we need to share with people. And we share them part and way through our service. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8 says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promises for both the present life and the life to come." So maybe that's my excuse. Maybe I'm focusing on my spiritual life too much. I'm not focusing on physical. Y'all don't look like you're bad at that. That's okay. That's what you tell people when they say, "Oh, you." I'm working on my spiritual life. I'm working on my spiritual fitness. No, it don't quite work like that, right? They kind of go hand in hand. That's what we're talking about today. All right. So we know we have work to do. We must work while there is time and opportunity. Our time on this earth is limited. When you think about this past week, in the last 2 weeks, when you think about all the, when you watch news, you see people that have been killed or different things that go on around the world. You see the train derailments, the plane crash. Our time on this earth is limited. We can work most effectively within the framework of the church. So we know that, as we said earlier, there's work to do, fulfilling needed roles in evangelism, edification, and benevolence, such as personal work, teaching, Bible classes, and ministering to those in need. Now, you know, as we look around this room, all of us have different talents and abilities, but one thing that we can all do is tell our story. You don't have to be a preacher or a teacher, but you can always talk to someone about the way God has worked in your life. How much are we reaching out to others? Are we sharing good news? Are we lending a helping hand? While there is much work to do and work is conducive to spiritual health, so also is periodic rest. You got to rest from time to time. Now, we, and I say we because I'm thinking about myself too, we come in here every Sunday, every Wednesday, and we sit in here and we get the word and we feel really good about ourselves, and then we leave. What are you doing with what you learned after you leave here? Are you sharing it? Are you contacting others? Are you sharing your faith? Are you talking about Christ? Because it really doesn't do any good if we just get it in our heads and we keep it to ourselves, right? So we know the good news that we have and what we get, we need to share with others. But it's also important that we get periodic rest. Energies and resources need replenishing. When much productive work has been done, we need rejuvenation to continue. We must stop and sharpen the saw. Otherwise, we become exhausted and suffer burnout. Periods of retreat characterize the Lord's ministry as well. Mark 6, verses 30 and 31. Says, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.'" We are made in such that we need some downtime. Now, I mentioned earlier that I'm working in school. So, of course, summertime, school is out. And this past summer, last summer, I worked a part-time job, and it was nice because, you know, getting ready to get married, it was nice to make a little bit of extra money, you know, towards the wedding and whatnot. But this summer, I'm working the same job. I'm not getting married again. I'm not going on a honeymoon. But if not, I'd be sitting at home all day. The cat is looking at me, and I'm looking at him. And he's wondering why I'm here all day. And I'm wondering, why is he looking at me like that? And the other thing about it, too, and it's nice to be able to rest, but I don't know if I can sit at home for 8 hours a day. He said, well, there's always tons of stuff to do. That's exactly why I don't need to be at home. But that's how you get, and I've learned really early. I'm only, we'll be married for a year next Sunday. And I've learned already that downtime is how you create a honey-do list. Well, you've been at home all day, and this ain't done, and this, you know. So, you know, I figured, well, it's nice. I'll go ahead and work this little part-time job. It's just a couple hours a day, make a little extra money. That's nice, right? Okay. But it's still important to rest. We are made such that we need downtime. There's value in periodic solitude, where we can meditate, reflect, and rest. We function best alternating work and rest, spiritually as well as physically. The Lord designed us to function best within the realms of cycle and seasons that alternate between work and rest. The Lord himself took time to be alone and to pray. In Mark 1:35, scriptures say, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So spiritual rest doesn't mean doing nothing. It means doing something different that will refresh and restore our energy for work. Changing up your routine. You think about during when you're working out or when you're trying to maintain your physical fitness, sometimes you have to do different things. You know, the when you talk about P90X and Insanity and all those workouts, they talk about muscle confusion. You know, it's different things that you're doing, right? The same thing is important. Spiritually, changing up our routine. It allows time for quiet prayer and Bible study, releasing anxiety and enjoying the peace of Christ. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Feeding our minds with things of virtue and good report. So whatever the content of our usual activities, we simply cannot remain spiritually strong without significant periods of restful change, not only for ourselves, but do we also appreciate the need for our brethren to take a break. Finally, let's not neglect to mention the importance of a healthy diet. Uh-oh. A healthy diet. That's hard. That can be hard. It can be challenging, because all of us have things that we enjoy, right?
Yeah.
Some more than others. Providing spiritual nourishment. We do not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. Matthew 4:4 says, Jesus answered, it is written, man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Lord's words are the words of life. We grow by virtue of the pure milk of the word. 1 Peter 2:2-3 says, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Avoiding spiritual junk food. Remember that Bluebell ice cream I talked about earlier? What goes in is what comes out. The Bible refers to that which is sound doctrine or healthy teaching. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Titus 2:1. There is also that which is opposite sound doctrine. Anything which teaches contrary to the blessed gospel. 1 Timothy 1:9-11. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine, that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. avoiding spiritual junk food, which may appeal to those with itching ears. Health-giving nourishment involves both the assimilation of nutritious food and the avoidance of toxic substances. As we look at the parallels between physical and spiritual health, let's look at three important principles. First, consistency. Physically, consistently eating something we know is good for us has a dampening effect on the desire for the not-so-good things. To begin with, there is only so much room in the stomach. When we put something good in, it leaves less room for something that is not so good. We will find ourselves eating less of the things that are not so good simply because there is no room for them. But spiritually, consistent time spent in prayer and Bible study leaves less time for our carnal natures to clamor for indulgence. It leaves less time to watch television or read materials that may not be the most elevating for our spiritual nature. As we are persistent in our Bible study, we find ourselves thinking more about the material we have studied and thirsting for answers to our questions. Thus, our desire for spiritual things becomes stronger than the desire for carnal things. The second principle, persistence. Spiritually, start adding the good persistently, such as having a prayer time before you get dressed in the morning, having prayer mid-morning as a spiritual pick-me-up, or having prayer time before you leave for lunch. Within a short while, Jesus starts to become your counselor in everything you do. Your spiritual health has become very good, and the symptoms of worldliness will begin to subside. The third principle is practice. Physically, the more we eat healthy food, the more likely we will happen to like the taste of it. When this happens, we may eat more than we planned on and find a lot less room for the not-so-good things. Spiritually, if the Spirit of Jesus lives in you, lost souls find you as attractive as they found Jesus. You may find them wanting to spend more time with you than they do with their worldly friends. Just as sure as taking the time to eat healthily is a good investment, spending time thinking upon biblical, spiritual subject matter is definitely not time lost. In conclusion, the moment everybody's been waiting for. No. In conclusion, the prescription for spiritual health is a simple one. We discussed a healthy diet, periodic rest, and regular exercise, which together builds a strong immune system. If we follow this prescription, our spiritual health and progress will be evident, saving not only ourselves, but blessing those around us as well, infecting them with good health. If we are not as spiritually healthy as we know we should be, then we need to follow the great physician, our Lord's prescription for spiritual health. If we are overcome by the disease of sin, then look to him who provides spiritual healing and renewal. Take some time to gauge your own spiritual health. God offers us an opportunity to cleanse our soul. We know what that is. We have an opportunity to obey his word. Why not purify yourself today by obeying the gospel? By believing in Jesus Christ, God's Son and man's Savior. John 8:24 reads, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. You will indeed die in your sins. By repenting of your sins. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. By confessing your faith in Jesus Christ. Matthew 10:32-33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And by being buried in baptism in order to have your sins washed away. Now let me stop right there for a second. I was brought up in a lesson that I heard last week. That's not a sprinkling. That's not a dipping. That's an immersion. That's important. Acts 22:16 says, And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And then serve him faithfully for the remainder of your life. Revelation 2:10 states, Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. By doing all these things, we know we can have a fuller, richer life on earth, but most of all, we can enjoy the blessings of heaven throughout all eternity. If there's anyone that wishes to ask for prayer or needs to make a statement or wishes to be baptized, please come forward as we stand and sing.